Good morning, all. The first case for argument this morning is Osabo Liquid versus Murphy. Mr. Izzo.
Good morning. My name is John Izzo, and I'm representing the defendants, including the Mone Township Road Commissioner Ken Murphy, the Mone Township Road District, and Mone Township itself. May it please the court. This case is about the validity of a township truck weight limit on Ridgeland Avenue, which is a two-lane rural highway in Mone Township under the jurisdiction, at least a significant portion of it, Mone Township. It is parallel to Interstate 57. And the facility of Auxabel, the plaintiff, which is involved in shipping by truck of liquid propane, is located on the corner of Steger Road and Ridgeland. It's right on the county line. There's basically two ways to get there from Interstate 57. One, traversing roads through Cook County, where the road weight limit is 72,380 pounds. And the other one is a slightly longer route through Will County, and including using Ridgeland Avenue. This case was decided in the district court on cross motions for summary judgment, and the parties basically litigated three different issues. One was the township road weight limit ordinance preempted by federal law, the federal law specifically being the Surface Transportation Assistance Act? Secondly, was the township ordinance consistent with state law, specifically the Illinois Vehicle Code? And third, should the township be stopped from enforcing its ordinance, at least as applied to this plaintiff? The district court concluded that there was federal law preemption, and so it didn't get to the other two issues. But on the preemption, as the court below discussed and the parties acknowledged, there are basically three types of preemption, and the first two types are not relevant. Everybody agrees with that, one being express preemption by the legislation, the second one being where Congress has basically regulated the entire field of subject matter. But what the district court found was that the third type of federal preemption applied, and that is where there is an actual conflict between the federal law and the state law at issue. The district court said that there was no conflict on the face of the Mone Township ordinance, but rather only as it applied. And it's important to understand here the circumstances being that there is still access to this facility, even with the enactment of the ordinance at issue, through Cook County, but there the weight limit. Yes.
No, but the bottom line is the effect of the statute. It prevents the plaintiff from having fully loaded commercial vehicles from accessing Ridgeland Road. In fact, the empty truck couldn't even work there. So how can you say the ordinance permits reasonable access to the terminal when you know what's going on in Cook County? And Cook County is 73 tons, right?
73,000 pounds, right?
Yeah, 73,000 tons.
Right. Basically, it's 80,000 pounds or 40 tons versus...
Yeah, so how can you say they can go through Cook County?
Well, because, Your Honor, we believe that that's still the framework of the state statute defines what reasonable access is. The scheme under the federal statute is they didn't define what reasonable access is. They left that to the states, and those state laws are reviewed by the federal agencies, and the federal agencies, nobody has said that the Illinois statute denies reasonable access. The effect of, and if you look at the bottom line, I think you have to look at the state statute here. And the state statute says within 1 mile, they get basically carte blanche access. Okay? This facility, that doesn't help plaintiff here because it's more than a mile away, using either route. Secondly, if they live within the 72,380 or 72,380, then within 5 miles they have access. Or finally, within 5 miles, if they use state highways or locally designated highways, then within 5 miles they can have access. That's the state process. That's reasonable access. That's what how Illinois has decided to define reasonable access. And if the federal government has not told Illinois that that's not reasonable access, and if it and if this court looks at that and says that is a reasonable process, then that then the Moaning Township ordinance didn't change that because they still have those three options. They could locate a terminal. Any party could locate a terminal within 1 mile.
Well, when this terminal was located, I thought that they configured it in such a way that they could use this particular road because the other one had a pre-existing weight limit that was not feasible for this type of business. So that they configured the terminal in such a way that unloaded trucks, that's fine, but a loaded truck would have to use this particular road. So if you're right, then, and that was at the time they built that terminal, I assume in reliance on what the weight limits were on this particular highway.
Your Honor, the facility is right on the corner, and they enter through Steger Road. The vehicles, the trucks,
those are unloaded.
Unloaded, they come through Cook County. Mm-hmm. Loaded, they get off in Ridgeland, but there's no reason physically, and that's in the record, there's no reason physically those trucks couldn't turn around and go back through Cook County.
Well, they have to get a permit for each load, though.
Unless they don't exceed, because basically the state law, the default, if it's not posted otherwise, the road weight limit on those county highways is 72,380.
Right. Okay. So they could, every time they ran a truck, they would have to apply for some sort of a special permit.
Or they could limit their weight to 72,380. But our position is that there was no reasonable reliance in 2000 and 2001 when they constructed the facility and then started the operation because there had been no local designation of this particular highway, of the Ridgeland Avenue.
So just to follow up on what Judge Evans says, you just think we should ignore their reliance on the prior highway commissioner's approval of the 80,000-pound truck traffic on Ridgeland. We should just ignore that.
Yes, Your Honor. I think because it was not in the township records, it was never presented to either township clerk for signature until this controversy came up. So if they're relying upon a public action, the only person who could really say about this is the former highway commissioner who passed away. It's absurd, I believe, to say that the attorney for the plaintiff, who it's on record, they drafted the ordinance, they maintained the only signed copy in their records all this time, to say that the township is subject to the questionable document like that, whether or not. And I think under Illinois law, you can't use oral proof to suggest that the validity of those ordinances.
Well, did Mr. Stassen sign the resolution?
That's a matter of dispute, Your Honor, because we don't have any witnesses to say that they did, and that our county clerks.
You've examined the document.
Our township clerks, the former one and the current one, and neither of them conclusively said that that was a signature. One said that. The 2001 looked like it, and the 04 didn't, and the other said just the opposite. But that was looking at the signature. But that's not how you can't operate a local government like that. It's got to be that if you're going to have an official record, that it's going to be maintained officially. It can't be that a party would have this thing drawn up, and they're the ones that keep it all these years. I mean that. How can you run a government when the officials are going to say, gee, well, we don't know what kind of ordinance might be out there? And then for a party to come up later, after the gentleman has passed away, and say, well, here's the ordinances, when it's not in our records.
And
it's
how
not
many
in our
years have they been doing?
They started operating in 2001.
Yeah.
And there was no posting of any road weight limits until early 2004. Okay. So they had no basis to rely upon those ordinances at the time they operated, because under state law, in order for a road weight limit for it to be increased like that, there has to be a proper designation, which, of course, we question whether there was one. But on top of that, state law says, and it has to be posted. And it was not posted for at least 3 years after they began operation. So they had no right to rely upon it, and that impacts the estoppel issue, but it also impacts the state law issue because they didn't properly follow state law. And because the Congress's scheme on access has been so clear that they basically leave it to the states, subject to just a reasonable test, it's consistent with the state scheme, and therefore there should be no federal preemption. Thank you.
Specia?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Chris Specia. I represent Auxable Liquid Products. I think some of the questions have illustrated why the district court properly found in favor of Auxable. And I want to go back to 2000 because I was intimately involved at that time. In 2000, the company, Auxable, approached the Township Highway Commissioner and asked for his permission to use Ridgeland Avenue for 80,000-pound truck traffic. And by statute, he had to act by resolution or ordinance. And it's true, my office prepared the resolution. And that resolution, and this is undisputed, it's in the record, that resolution was carried to the township offices, handed to Mr. Stassen, signed and returned. Why he allegedly did not keep a copy, I guess we'll never know. Perhaps he did, and I think the record showed that the township record-keeping function was a little bit fuzzy over the years. And Mr. Stassen acted, as all township highway commissioners act, as his own municipal entity. But nothing more had to be done at that time. He signed the resolution. That resolution was signed even before we got our county zoning approval and before this terminal was constructed. And it was in reliance on that act that the company reconfigured this terminal. So light unloaded trucks would enter on Stager Road and loaded trucks would exit onto Ridgeland Avenue.
What's the volume of the traffic? How many trucks are there?
This is a very lightly used facility. At a peak time, and it would be this time of the year because propane is the necessity.
Summer grills going at this
right. The necessity is right now. We may have 100 trucks a day at a peak time. So this is not a heavy volume of truck traffic.
And the volume of the truck is how much?
An unloaded truck weighs 39,000 pounds.
A loaded
truck, they try to load up to 80,000 pounds. And the reason they do that is that's
loaded up to 71,000. You could go through a Cook County.
They could, and I think the record is
a little more awkward, I suppose.
The record is real clear on this. That is not economically feasible. Mm-hmm. And we had the opinion in the record of an independent trucker who said this terminal will be put out of business if you make these drivers light load. They base all their pricing on a fully loaded truck, and they need to get as much product as they can into that truck.
Where does the product go? Does it go into Cook County at all?
This product will go to northern Indiana. It will go to western Illinois. I think very little would go into Cook County.
If you have a Cook County load, you just or a delivery, it meets the lower weight limit? Is that if there's a delivery to Cook County? But at some point, if you've got a Cook County delivery, you got to get into the county, right?
Yeah, and I think I can explain this a wholesale operation. So what these trucks do is they deliver the propane to facilities that actually retail it. Mm-hmm. And if somebody needs propane in Cook County, most likely then the retail operation will run a smaller, lighter truck mm-hmm. in order to provide that.
So it's not your position that any weight, or is it your position that any weight limit on Ridgeland would violate the FSTAA?
Our position is any weight limit that's less than 80,000 pounds. And that's the whole idea of the STAA is to promote this uniformity. And I think the district court saw through this argument. And the argument really is, as further by the defendants, because there's no precise definition of reasonable access, states can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And that can't be the case, because now you've destroyed the whole purpose of this statutory scheme, and that's to promote uniformity, that's to eliminate the problems that were caused by inconsistent state regulations. And I think the First Circuit case that's cited in the briefs has a very strong statement about the formidable reach of this reasonable access provision, and that it reaches many miles away from this national network of highways. And I think you have an instance here where the STAA clearly precludes the township from effectively shutting down this road, and that's what they've done. And to say that you can go to Cook County, that's not a viable alternative. And the record is very clear on that. So for that reason, and I guess stepping back also, we feel we have a strong estoppel argument. And I think I've explained some of the facts that weigh into that, but this was a case where there was government action. This was not a ministerial government employee. This was the decision maker adopting a resolution that was permitted by state statute. In reliance on that, we spent millions of dollars constructing this terminal. The other argument that counsel touched on just briefly, but I think is a strong argument, is under the state statute, which I view as an effort by the state of Illinois to comply with the STAA, to say that now we have a 5-mile distance where trucks can travel up to 80,000 pounds. That 80,000 pounds is there for a purpose, because that's the maximum weight permitted on our interstate highways.
Spezia, is there anything in the record to reflect the incidence of any accidents on that use of Ridgeland by going south to I-57?
There's absolutely nothing in the record, and the Township Highway Commissioner was very clear. He did this for the protection of the road, and he was asked in his deposition any other reason. Answer, no. So this is not an issue, and they cite some cases that talk about states having more of an interest when safety is involved. This is not a safety case. Safety didn't have anything to do with this decision.
Well, are you saying road maintenance doesn't have a safety component?
Perhaps it could, but certainly those facts were not in this case and before the court.
And there was no record fully developed on the difference between these 7,000 pounds and the impact it had on the roads, was there?
You're correct.
I mean, you know, that 7,000-pound difference, that would have such a dramatic impact on the condition of the road.
You're correct. There was no record developed on that. And, in fact, I think their experts said, well, if you don't allow truck traffic, the road would be in better condition. And I said, isn't that true with every road? And he said yes. So there was nothing specific in the record on that issue. But I believe that this court's decision in the Crest Hill case gives us a whole separate argument. And under that state statute, this is a locally designated highway. And the township, the defendants have never explained how their interpretation squares with the statute. And in fact, I believe it would eviscerate the 5-mile reach to say that it has to be designated locally as a truck route. Well, what's the purpose of 5 miles? What's the purpose of limiting the reasons? Because if it's a truck route, unlimited truck traffic is permitted. And you don't have to limit the mileage. And I think that this court got it right in the Crest Hill case in interpreting that locally designated highway. And that's a case where the facts were very much on point to this case, where the city of Joliet tried to shut down access to a terminal within 5 miles of a Class 2 truck route, and this court said that violates the state statutory scheme. And I think if you look at that scheme, and I mentioned this before, that scheme is an attempt to comply with this federal regulation. So for all these reasons, we would ask respectfully that the court affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you. Mr. Izzo?
Thank you, Judge. A few things. First, with regard to Crest Hill. In that case, on the central issue about whether it was a designated local highway, the city of Joliet, in their answer, admitted that it was. For whatever reason, they did. And the only issue litigated by the parties in their briefs was should they be let off the hook for that when they try to retract it on the eve of trial? Okay? So that the issue with regard to designation and what it means was dictated to that case. But furthermore, it's also distinguishable because the city of Joliet did take an affirmative act. It did designate the highway as something called a minor arterial, whatever that is, okay, which is not relevant here. But they did take an affirmative action. Here, we believe, and our position is that the township road commissioner took no affirmative action. But more to the point, if you read the statute carefully, locally designated clearly means that because the state statute allows the road commissioner, the local jurisdiction, to designate highways as a class 2 or class 3. That's what locally designated means, is for voluntarily a local jurisdiction to indicate that it's a class 2 or class 3. Council said that nothing more need to be done when the ordinance was signed. No, under Illinois law, it has to be maintained by the township clerk. It has to be recognized by her. So to say that's the end of the deal, no, not at all. Not economically feasible, that's what their expert said. But their manager said that, hey, they had different kinds, size trucks. They had small trucks, large trucks, and even in the large trucks, they often were filled to only 85% capacity as a matter of practice. He says otherwise, to read out our way, the states can do anything. Well, Illinois didn't just do anything. Illinois had a very precise standards there. Within a mile, 80,000 pounds. Within 5 miles, if you're along a state highway or locally designated highway, still 80,000 pounds. It's only within 5 miles, if you get away from those two circumstances, that it's 72,380. This is a reasonable standard Illinois applied, and if that standard by Illinois is reasonable, then what Mooning Township did was reasonable. He says that this wasn't a safety concern. Well, I would suggest that the cases we talk about say safety isn't the only basis, because Congress only added safety as a reason after they had already had an existing statute which has said reasonable access. But more to the point is that, hey, anytime you're talking about road damage, and there was damage to this road, he did have to patch it, and right on the exit where they came out, there's no curbs on. This is a narrow rural road, unlike the Cook County roads, which are curbed
and
wider.
Right, but there's no evidence in the record that this 7,000 pounds made a dramatic difference, is there?
Judge, we wanted more than 7,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah, you wanted way more.
We wanted way
more. You wanted 24 or something?
We want 28,000 for it.
Yeah,
and the reason is because this is a rural road. It's not curbed. 10 feet wide lanes. It's not the roads in Cook County they would be using would be four-lane highways with shoulders and curbs. There was damage done. Our commissioner did have to go out and patch it, and I saw it myself. But when we're talking about at the exit where they come out. But the important thing is that was a reasonable concern. It was done reasonably and within the scheme of the statute. Thank you.
So, Mr. Spezia, our thanks to both counsel, and the case is taken under advisement, and the court.